Well, you know the topic of my talk, so I can proceed to the next slide. And a little bit about motivation. And the main source of motivation was my supervisor, Aria, who said, there's no good piece of mathematics which will not find applications. So I might as well start by saying that interpolation in non-Euclidean spaces is a very interesting theoretical problem. Then I looked around and I read some, I found many papers of engineers and computer scientists where they're interested in interpolation because they want to apply it in computer graphics, in animation, or in robotics and so on. And also interpolation in Lie groups in homogeneous spaces can be applied, for example, in geometric integration, because we want to integrate on a coarser grid, and sometimes we need to approximate solution at intermediate points of the integration interval. Okay, so while I'm sure that most of the audience is very much familiar with all the basic notions of Lie groups and Lie algebras, however, I'll stop for a few seconds of this slide. Just want to mention that a Lie group is a smooth manifold with a group structure, and a special orthogonal Lie group is naturally parameterized by orthogonal matrices of determinant 1. And with every Lie group, we can associate a Lie algebra, which is a tangent space at the identity component of the group. And in this particular case, these are... Oops. I wanted to press a pointer. These are skew symmetric matrices. And there is a very nice map which connects a Lie group with its Lie algebra, which is an exponential map. And in our case, it's just the power series matrix exponential, which is defined by this power series expansion. And the exponential map has the inverse, which is the logarithm, also defined by power series. And the only difference here that logarithm has this, the power series converge only for matrices which are close to the identity matrix in the group. So we make use of the following operators. These are adjoint operators, and this is just a matrix commutation. Then I want to mention the formula of DEXP operator, which is defined in the following way, where the powers of the adjoint operators are just nested commutators. Commutators. And then I will be using function of the adjoint operator, this composition of some function with the adjoint operator, which will be understood in the following way. So the function f can be expanded into the Taylor series in its domain of analyticity, and we just substitute the powers of the adjoint operator into this expression. This is how we understand this expression later on. And also a joint operator is a linear, so it can be represented by a matrix. So this is simply a function of a matrix in this sense. Okay, so as I said, we will be considering interpolation in the group, in the special orthogonal group. So we are given a set of data, and we want to construct a function which is smooth and which interpolates this set of data. And just a note that this is the simplest interpolation problem. However, the technique which we are developing here can be readily applied to a more general problem such as Hermite interpolation, for example. Okay. So, summary of the of existing methods. The group of rotations, which is SO3, is a very famous group, and it has lots of very nice features such as various maps such as exponential, logarithm, BCH formula. They all can be found in closed form for this group. So, and Well, there are lots of parameterizations as well, and it's all been heavily used in order to perform interpolation in this group. And for example, people use parameterizations to construct splines in this group and so on. The only problem is this, that most of the time these methods do not generalize to higher dimensions. Then there is this Deca-Stilgeau algorithm in Euclidean spaces, which is iterating linear interpolation to obtain certain degrees of smoothness of the interpolating curve. And the idea is to replace linear interpolation by geodesic interpolation in manifolds. But computing geodesics, even for simple cases, is a difficult problem on its own. And the complexity of this algorithm increases substantially with the degree of smoothness. So in practice, so theoretically, you can obtain high degree of smoothness, but they're very, very difficult to implement using this algorithm. And there are also different subdivision methods adapted to manifolds. Okay, so naive interpolation. We know that if we have a matrix, we can obtain an orthogonal matrix out of this matrix just by applying QR factorization, right? So why should we bother that much if we can just interpolate component-wise the set of data, the set of matrices which we have? We will get a matrix-valued function. And what we can do, we can just take QR factorization of this function and throw out the upper triangular component, and we get an interpolation function. But this is what happens with this approach. So to visualize it, I considered a sphere, and I just generated a curve from this sphere, which is a blue one. So generated this curve, and took some sampled this curve at some points, constructed the way I just described the matrix-valued function, and then took QR factorization. Then the red curve here, this is a curve which I obtain after I leave out the upper triangular component. So this is my interpolating curve. It does indeed interpolate the points, but we see that it deviates significantly from the original curve. And not only that, but also that this is not smooth, because here we have this jump, this angle over here. So this is not a good method, obviously, because it has very poor approximation properties and it lacks smoothness. And this happens because we don't take into account that we have to deal with different topological properties of the space we are interpolating. Okay, so, but remember, we have this very nice exponential map which connects Lie group with its algebra, and even better in this situation, our exponential map is surjective. So any element in the group can be represented as an exponential of some element in the algebra, and we want to use this. So we want to find We want to find corresponding preimages in the algebra. Then we know that the Lie algebra is a Euclidean space, and we have the whole machinery there to construct interpolation functions. And then we want the result in interpolating function to be the exponential of the corresponding curve in the algebra. So the question is, how can we find these preimages under exponential? And the straightforward choice would be, let us take logarithms. But and the natural choice is to take principal logarithm, because this is what's usually done. If you plug in a matrix into MATLAB or Mathematica, it will always compute you a principal logarithm of this matrix. Okay, so let's consider a simple example. So I just take a curve in the group, which is just the exponential of a straight line in the algebra, and I consider that segment of this curve such that for T1, this vertex of this, the left vertex of this segment is within the range of the principal logarithm, and this vertex is outside the range of the principal logarithm. So I have these two values in the algebra. I map them to the group and then just take principal logarithms to go back to the algebra and interpolate these two points by a line, and then consider the distance between this within this segment between the original curve and the interpolating curve. And I see that the distance has this, I have this huge deviation within the interval from the original curve. So we get, this is useless for applications because we cannot, it gives very poor approximation conditions. Right? So taking the principal values of logarithm may be not the most natural choice, and we need to be able to follow the correct branch of the logarithm instead of staying on the principal branch. Okay, so you might say, yeah, we have this, if we have a line passing through the origin in the algebra and we take the exponential of this line, it will be free of distortions in the group. So what we can do, we can just use the left translation to translate our two points into the neighborhood of the identity, connect them there by geodesic, which we can construct there, and then map the whole thing back. But the problem here is that we have this local pieces of geodesic is a local concept, and we have pieces of geodesics locally, but the main challenge here is to smoothly patch up those pieces of geodesics to preserve the global smoothness of the interpolating curve. And this is a very difficult task, and there are people who are doing this, but we are doing it in a different way. And what we want to do, we want to keep a global exponential representation for the interpolating function because it gives us a good hold on smoothness properties of the curve. And we want to develop a technique so that we can follow the correct branch of the logarithm. So in other words, if we have two points in the group which are relatively close to each other, we want to find the corresponding preimages which are also close to each other in the group, in the algebra. Because if we stay in the principal branch, then those points in the algebra, they are not necessarily close. They can be very, very, very big distance apart. Okay, so as I said, we do it step by step, so it's enough to consider two points. So I know the A at my previous step, and I want to find some increment. What should I add to my A in order to get the preimage of the next element, which is Q? And I assume that this norm is small. And let's consider this expression here. So since this norm is small, by the way, I'm using Euclidean norm all the time, this ensures that this logarithm is nothing else but principal logarithm. And I have this operator here, which is defined as a function of the adjoint operator. And this is a linear operator on the algebra. And I have this main theorem which states that my E tilde computed in this form, it's very close to the E, which is the solution of this equation. And so the note here, so let's have a closer look on this operator, what it is in reality. So this is a function, so this is this function of the adjoint operator, which can be represented by a matrix. And the nice thing about skew-symmetric matrices and adjoint operator on skew-symmetric matrices that it's also skew-symmetric and its spectrum is imaginary. So this function is defined on the adjoint as soon as it's defined on its spectrum, and on the spectrum it looks like this. So this is x over sine x function, which unfortunately have singularities at these points. So as soon as we hit the singularity, this operator T is not defined. It's only defined away of singularities, away from singularities. Okay, so the proof of the theorem, we want to find the, so we want to consider this logarithm here, and we want to find the closed expression for this logarithm. And for this, we want to consider this function, and it's very easy to verify that this function satisfies the following differential equation on our group, and there is a standard way to express the solution of this differential equation in terms of Magnus expansions. And it was discovered by Arya in 2001. And so I just want to point out that one might say, but this, why don't you apply a BCH formula right away? The thing is that the way we are doing this, BCH can be obtained the same way, but we want to fix the parameter t later on. We want to fix it to be equal to 1. So with BCH formula, because you want to obtain this expression. With the BCH formula, it's not really clear where we need to truncate it to have a good approximation. And Magnus expansion, in particular in this case, it gives us a good tool to collect terms which have the same order in powers of E, because this is what we want to have a we want to be able to see what terms have the same order in powers of the matrix E, in powers of the norm of the matrix E. Okay, so we consider this differential equation. We want to find the solution in the exponential form. So we plug it in, we get this nonlinear equation with respect to omega. Here's our P and Q functions, they're defined this way. So, as I said, the solution can be represented as power series similar to a classical case of Magnus expansions, not power series, just series similar to the classical case of Magnus expansions. And their first few terms can be computed. So the first term is by definition, and we plug in t equals 1 right away, just not in order not to carry this t parameter all over the computations. And we can compute omega 1, which is this expression here, which looks already like what we need. The computation of omega 2 is much more computationally intensive, but it's still possible to obtain this closed form for this. And so we can see this is already of order e to the power of 2, this term. And the nice thing about this is that the coefficients here, they decay so quickly, they're very, very, very small. Right? So in other words, if we can write the following expression. So this is our omega 1, and the rest of the series are here in this remainder, because the way they are generated recursively, they are of order at least e to the power, norm e to the power 2. And now what we do, assuming that we don't hit a singularity point for the adjoint operator here, we just invert this, and we get this expression, and this is exactly our e tilde, what we need to compute. Okay, so this is the proof. And there are a few remarks on the way. First of all, since we use the exponential solution, we try to find the exponential solution, we should talk about the existence of the exponential solution as well as the convergence of the series expansion. And we believe that the conditions should be of this form, similarly to the classical case. However, the classical case of Magnus expansions. However, the exact value of this constant is at present unavailable. But the nice thing about this, if you look closer, and for example, we use Frobenius norm. So this is by definition of our P. This is cosh hyperbolic. Then, if we switch to the Euclidean norm using the natural embedding, which stretches the matrix, a matrix into a vector, so this is n squared by n squared matrix, but it's still skew-symmetric matrix, and it still has a imaginary spectrum. So the Euclidean norm of this matrix, of a function of a matrix, can be bounded by 1, and the whole norm, the initial condition can be bounded. It only depends on matrix E from here, as we can see, which is very nice, I would say. So the matrix A can be arbitrarily large, and we have the convergence as soon as the matrix E satisfies the sufficient condition. This is interesting, and here, I just want to illustrate the performance of this formula here, so that we indeed have a quadratic convergence. So I multiply by k squared. Is it visible? By k squared, and they have nice quadratic convergence, and even more for large. So my matrix A is relatively large compared to matrix E, and still the constant in the remainder term of this difference, what remains after we in this term here, this constant is very, very small compared to the matrix, to the norm of the matrix A, and in the next case it's even larger, and still we have a very small constant. So this is a very good approximation of this symmetric product by a single exponential. So we want to use this, obviously, since already E tilde brings us very close to the next point in the group. We can try to iterate the whole process. So we construct this iterative procedure to approximate the next preimage in the algebra, which we need to find, and we do it step by step. So this is the iteration algorithm. And just a few remarks. So it seems to be expensive to implement this, because we need to compute the commutator matrix, we need to compute the function of a matrix, but these things can be easily dealt with. Because, first of all, commutator matrix, there is a way to, instead of n squared by n squared matrix, there is a way to compute a smaller dimension matrix, which is called reduced commutator matrix, and which was discovered by Arie again. And we can also use Padé approximation to this rational Padé approximation to this function. So the whole thing is reduced to just taking logarithm, principal logarithm, and solving a linear system with respect to the coefficients of this increment matrix E. And in particular for SO3 case, there is a our operator can be computed in the closed form, and it looks like this. From here we can see again that as soon as we hit the singularities of, as soon as we have multiples of pi here, it doesn't exist at those points. But other than that, this is a very small constant. So this is how it looks like. So it's easy to compute for SO3 case as well. Okay, so some remarks about the convergence. So we inductively apply the theorem. We get this expression for the increment, which looks like this in terms of matrices A. And so it looks like quadratic convergence, just that this constant, this is not the constant here, this norm here varies at each step, but the fact that this we indeed have a quadratic convergence is justified by the following numerical examples. So here, first case is 6x6 matrix, and I use the example where I have a branch cut, so these are multiples of pi, so I'm switching branches of the logarithm here. And we have a quadratic convergence, so this is minus logarithm, so and the number of significant digits doubles at each step. And after 5 steps of iteration, we already have, say, 9 significant digits here in the first case. The second case is, this is 10x10 matrices. And we still have a nice quadratic convergence. We need 7 steps here. Again, we have jumps over multiples of pi, so we have jumps over logarithm branches in some cases here. And so we have nice quadratic convergence, which is very fast. And I also use some sphere examples, although sphere, as you know, sphere is a homogeneous manifold with respect to the rotation group action. So, and this is the topic of future research, the interpolation in homogeneous manifolds. But here I assume that I already prescribed the rotation matrices at each point of the on the sphere, so I take those rotation matrices and I can reconstruct the whole curve applying my iterative algorithm at each step. So this is what I obtain. Okay, so just once again we have constructed an algorithm which is easy to implement and which for any two points, given that we know the preimage of the first one and the exponential, we can very quickly approximate the preimage of the next point in the group using the iterative algorithm, and we have quadratic convergence. So the farther directions of research would be, of course, to try to extend the result to other Lie groups and as well as work with homogeneous spaces, and also to explore the approximation properties of the interpolating curves with respect to different metrics. Okay. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Okay, we have a time for one or two questions.
Just a question, is it possible from this modified Magnus type formula for this special differential equation to go to a modified BCH formula, which you get this triple product? And
this is the way the modified BCH formula can be obtained. But the only problem there is that we, in BCH, we collect the term with respect to the powers of t, right, of the parameter. And I'm more interested, I have t fixed here. So I sort of try to rearrange the terms in BCH to have a grip on this, because this is what happens in the end. I apply it such that the E is small and A can be arbitrarily large, right? So it's basically the same way. So BCH can be deduced from this approach as well.
Yeah, also, in BCH, you need both the matrix A and the matrix E to be smaller, or T to be small. Here, T is not small, equals 1. And A can be very large. E is small, but A can be very large. Still, BCH exists, but not from general theory.
No, I meant...
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I meant exactly for this triple product. No. Yeah, it's triple. No. The triple product for y, right?
Yeah.
In general, I mean...
So BCH is reducing basically this to the single exponential function, right?
Yeah, but there's also a particular, I think people call it symmetric BCH.
Yes, exactly. So not this is symmetric BCH. We can say that this is symmetric BCH. Just the terms are rearranged in such a way that they have this nice expression here, so that the exponential of the whole thing approximates very well the symmetric product for arbitrary large matrices A and for small matrices E and for fixed parameter T.
What is the smoothness of the curve you got?
Well, I didn't. It's up to you because you have the whole machinery of the classical interpolation theory to explore the smoothness. The important thing that it's exponential of something in Euclidean space, and something in Euclidean space you can make as smooth as you want. Right. So the fact that this is a global exponential function of something in Euclidean space allows you to have good approximation property, smoothness properties of the curve.
Okay, we'll press on because we have another talk soon. So thank you again.